Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Perfecting Deliverance Radio, hosted by yours truly, Latoya Haley. We are live on every Wednesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in and listen as my weekly guests are sharing testimonies of deliverance from strongholds, healing, and the powerful movement of God. As a result of Perfecting Deliverance Radio, many souls have been led to Christ. Call in to the station to speak live with my guests by dialing 347-989-1779 and pressing 1 on your keypad for questions or comments. Also listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/perfectingdeliverance or download the Blog Talk Radio app on Apple Store or Google Play. Follow me on Facebook at Latoya Haley or like my Perfecting Deliverance Ministries page. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Latoya Haley. You can email us at perfectingdeliverance1@yahoo.com. You can contact Perfecting Deliverance Ministries at 731-215-0236. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show.
Let me say I was wrong.
I'm sorry.
Never knew your name.
never knew.
How you never run dry of forgiveness. Didn't know how bad it was afraid just because
I was afraid.
Sorry, dear, we took your place. So
I waited my whole life to say this. Come on.
Never.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. You've reached Perfecting Deliverance Radio, and I am your host, LaToya Haley. And today is February the 17th, 2016, and I am excited to be on the show tonight. I haven't been on the air in a couple weeks, so I'm excited to be on here tonight. Tonight's guest that I have that's going to be on the show with me, his name is Quincy Douglas. And he has an awesome, awesome testimony of his life behind the prison walls and how he is now a rehabilitated man. And he's since been released. And I'm just so godly proud of him and everything that he has accomplished in his life just since he's been out of prison. So he's going to be joining us here in a little bit. But for those of you that are now just join us, or if you know someone that's wanting to join the call, there's several different ways that you can listen into the show. You can call into the station. The number here is 347-989-1779. At any time during the show, when we get to the question and answer portion, if you have questions or comments for myself or for my guest, you can simply press 1 on the keypad. That will alert me that you have a question or comment for one of us. Also, you can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/perfectingdeliverance. So that's a way that you can also listen to it. I also do have three pages on Facebook. You can either look at my ministries page, which is Perfecting Deliverance Ministries, that I have a link there posted that you can just listen to. You can go there and just click on the link there. Or also you can go on either one of my Facebook pages, LaToya Haley. My second page is LaToya Sharif Haley, that you can go on. You can check the link out there. Also, there is a Blog Talk Radio app that you can download if you're on Apple or if you are on Google Play. If you have Android like myself, you can download the app there. You can go to the search bar and put in Perfecting Deliverance Radio, and it will bring you directly to my page. You can go straight to the title of the show there, which is From Prison Walls to his walk with Christ. So those are a few different ways that you can listen in. But again, I'm just excited just for being on the air live tonight, just for all of you that are listening in, however it is that you may be listening in. There's several people on the line, and I just thank you all for joining us on tonight. Just tell you a little bit about my day today. Today it was I guess about 35 degrees. It was kind of an overcast today, but I now am officially living in Illinois. I've been in Tennessee for almost a year now, and I have actually moved back up north to one of my hometowns where I am living currently, and I've started a new job, and I have a new home and everything, so I'm extremely excited about what God is doing in my life, for what he's done so far. If he doesn't do anything else, he has already done enough. He woke me up this morning, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about my new church home. Just a little shout out to my pastor, my new pastor. I can't forget about my father. My father will always be my pastor, Pastor George Haley. And my mother, District Missionary Toy Haley, they are still my parents, and they are still my first pastor. Those are my home pastor. But I said, as I have now transitioned to Illinois, my new pastor, Pastor Embra Patterson the third, and First Lady Stacy Patterson is now my First Lady and pastor. So I'm excited to be under the leadership there at House of Faith, Church of God in Christ. So I'm excited for what God is doing. So
I've been kind of all over the place. I haven't been on the air for a while, and just trying to get everything lined up. But I moved in, and I'm all set and everything, and I have my office now, and I'm all ready to go. So I'm excited about that. So nothing else as far as my day. It was kind of slow today, but I know that it's going to be picking up. I work at a car dealership, as you all know, and I know that the season, the tax season, is up on us. So it's going to be getting busy. So I'm going to enjoy this slow time while I can, because I know here in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks we are not going to be able to get out of work on time or anything. So I'm going to enjoy it while I can, because I know it's going to come to a screeching halt here soon, I'm sure. But at this time, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, I'm going to bring on my guest, Quincy Douglas, who's going to come on, and we're just going to have a nice little conversation about his testimony of what God has done for him in his life. So you all, if you want to get you something to drink, you know, if you want to grab something to eat real quick, we're going to take about a two-minute break. Not too long, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk with Quincy, and we're going to move forward with the show. So we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first. And then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist, Methodist,
Jewish, Mormon,
Lutheran, Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional.
But grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
Like every week, but would you like to ride to church with me? Oh, come on, Mrs. Edwards, you like my church. We have some hot music. It may not be what you're bumping at all, but it's hot. We get down. What do you say, Mrs. Edwards?
Oh,
suppose.
I've heard it said that 80% of first-time church visitors come because someone personally invited them. All people need to feel loved and wanted, and for some people, it just takes having someone offer to give them a ride to church. We have something great going on at this church. People's lives are being transformed by God's love. Your homework this week is to find at least one person who could use a little more of that love and invite them to come with you next week. Trust me, it's worth the extra effort.
Mrs. Edwards, you want to listen to some music on the way? Go ahead, your choice. Okay, here we are.
And we are back. You've reached Perfecting Deliverance Radio if you're just now tuning in. I have my guest, Quincy Douglas, is on the line tonight. You can call in if you know someone that wants to listen into the show. They can call in 347-989-1779. Or if you want to listen online, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/perfectingdeliverance. And I do have my guest on the line with me today. Quincy, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. How y'all doing?
Good evening. How are you doing?
All right.
That's good. That's good. Well, I'm excited to have you on the line tonight. Today's show, again, we were talking about from prison walls to your walk with Christ, and I'm just so excited just for you to be able to join us tonight, to be able to give your testimony of what God has done for you in your life. We're going to get into it a little bit further later on in the show, but I know that you were in prison for a long time, but can you just tell me a little bit about your reckless life, what you were doing before prison, I guess, and how you ended up being in prison?
Basically, how I ended up being in a lifestyle, more so or not, it kind of involved from where I was, where the environment where I was in, for one. Of course, being in places where it's not safe for children to be living it or to be raising kids at, you know, being around those environments where one day you could walk outside of your front doorstep and just see somebody been laying over there for 2 or 3 days, all the way up to finally moving up the social ladder somewhat. You know, my family did. They moved, you know, finally get out of the projects and things like that. But it was something, it was always a tie. You know how they always say, you might leave the hood, but the hood never leave you. And you know, I used to kind of live by that mentality. Of course, at the age of 10, my mother and my father split up. Of course, my mother, you know, she had to struggle, you know, for a long time, basically raising two kids, me and my sister, which, of course, she's now 22. It's kind of hard on a mother, of course, to have to raise two kids, not just two kids alone, but her oldest being a boy and trying to train him into being a fully functioning man. And there were times that, you know, she didn't even know where I was because she would have to work so much. You know, it was hard for her to keep up with me. You know, so it's hard for a 60-year-old woman to try to watch a 12, 13-year-old kid who's active, you know, hanging out with people twice my age and doing things that were, as we always say, ungodly, you know, gangbanging, drug dealing, all of that. You know, anything that you could think of, you know, that's the type of stuff that I was around or was involved in at some point in time. And so, you know, those gave me distorted thoughts. Now, keep in mind, I did well in school, you know, wonderful, A student, played football, played baseball, basketball, excelled at those sports. But, you know, I didn't have the right mind frame, you know. I'd get ready to turn 18, you know, I'm no longer under anyone's care. I'm, you know, I'm on my own. So at this point in time in my life, you know, from hanging out with guys that's 25, 26, already been in the street life, they got, like, real life bullet wounds in them, and they still living, you know, to tell the story. You know, I'm looking up to these guys because, you know, I'm like, dang, they went through wars and made it, you know, why can't I? So, Toya, you've been around me a little bit before, so you kind of see how I am some days, especially whenever I come into work. You know, that's just part of that somewhat of a defense mechanism that's been drilled into my brain, because what I was raised was, you know, I'm going to get mine, you better get yours. And over time, you know, there were people that, you know, they tried to steer me in the right direction, of course. I've had previous incarcerations before this long bid that we'll end up talking about later on. But I took my first charge at 13. I was waiting outside of the projects I was living in, and this guy come through there. We had been picking with the guy. I ain't going to even lie, we did. And this was a grown man, you know. One day he come through there, and he pulled out his gun on us like he was going to shoot us one day. And we just saw, one guy just so happened to notice that there was no clip in the gun. So we ended up beating the man till he was senseless, hospitalized with baseball bats. So I got my first aggravated assault charge at 13, did about 18 months of juvenile. They let me out on good behavior. Started playing football, so they kind of kept me out of trouble for a long time. You know, I have to thank God for my football coaches for that, because, you know, those were at least some moments that I did get to enjoy my early childhood, because a lot of people that get involved in the system that early in age, you know, they never really get to experience life ever. They never get a chance to grow up. So anyway, long story short, I started my whole track record early.
I understand, you know, that it's something that you said that caught my attention, that you were, even though you were getting in trouble and you were doing things, that you were actually still maintaining your grades in school, which is something that you normally don't see, and actually that you were even doing sports, because most kids, when they are getting in trouble, they shut down on everything. I mean, they shut down, you know, on school. They don't want to be bothered with any sports. They don't want to be bothered with anything but the streets or whatever it is that they want to get in trouble. You know, whatever it is that they want to do, they just want to do that. But it's them still, you know, even going to school, period. I mean, when I grew up, I was, I was a model student. I played basketball and everything. I actually didn't get in trouble legally until I was older, which didn't make any sense, because most people, they do. They get in trouble when they're younger, you know, in their early age, and it's something that I didn't do until I was in my 20s, in my late 20s. Well, it was like early 20s, but I was in my 20s. And I'm sitting there looking, I'm like, man, I just now got in trouble. But, I mean, I understand, you know, that things happen, and you can't take back the past, whatever you've done. The only mistakes that you've made, you can just learn from them and just move on. And, you know, for you to be able to move on from everything that you've done, even though, you know, you had to do some time and everything, for you to be able to move on from it. But, you know, your life when you were in prison, I know that you did some extended time. Tell me about your life while you were actually in the prison, within the prison walls. How was your life inside?
My life inside of prison, I'm gonna say it like this, because I know we got people that's listening out there, young people, older people who may be going through some things. I know a lot of y'all probably watch the shows Lock Up and Scared Straight and things like that. And when I say that stuff is very edited, I mean, it really is, and they cut out a whole lot of stuff that really goes on in there. You know, I go in there at the age of 21, and you know, I already done heard all the war stories and, you know, about people getting killed and everything like that. Well, heck, keep in mind, 13-year-old wasn't dead time already, so, you know, I'm used to all the fighting and the stabbings and stuff like that, but what I wasn't used to, you don't mind me being candid at this moment, but there was a lot of ungodly activity going on within men in that in those places, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of them
right.
that no longer are themselves the way that they come into the world. And the reason that they're like that is because they've developed a mind frame of no one can judge me. I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it took me a while to kind of get over the phobia of those people because, you know, it's something that got them to that point because, hey, it was some stuff that was going on, you know, in my life that brought me to this point of being in prison. So, you know, I had to learn to not judge nothing, but at the same time, I had to watch my back in there because, you know, the same person that'll smile at you in the morning, this morning in the chow hall, might be the same person waiting outside of the chow hall when you get ready to come out. You know, take what you got.
Right.
And then on top of that, you have correctional officers. You have correctional officers that, you know, they talk down to you, talk dirty to you. The food is like, I'm going to be honest with you, I have dogs, and my dogs eat better than I did in prison.
Wow.
My dogs eat better than I did in prison. And I'm not saying that, you know, that was one of the, you know, worst experiences. And the reason why I'm saying it like this is because there was a message behind the reason for me going. And thank God that I ran into a brother there by the name of Chris Suggs. He was serving a life sentence at that time, and he has been fighting that case for so long, and I finally got confirmation around December of 2015 that his life sentence has been reduced to 20 years, and mind you, he's already been in there for 18, so he's fixing to get ready to come home soon. So I just want to pray to God to get to him. You know, because without brothers like that in there, you know, I might not be here to do this radio station, you know, to do this show.
That's right.
You know, I'd probably still be on maximum security prison, you know, or I'd be in the prison graveyard with just a little headstone there, you know, wouldn't even have my name, just have my TDOC number.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good and bad experience, like I said. The good experience is that it gave me time to really look at me. But the bad experience is because I saw a lot of lives get lost, you know, that never gave themselves a chance. So with that being said, that was pretty.
Inside the prison walls, so many lives being taken. That's just amazing to me how the system is and how things are still going on like that in today's time. That's just, it's so sad. And everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. So, I mean, you have to deal with it and just make sure that you have a walk with Christ, have a life with Christ. And, you know, if you didn't have one when you came in, obviously, you know, try to develop one. You know, so you can come out, and if you're a person that's not able to be released ever, you know, just when you close your eyes, make sure that you have your life in line with with God. So that's, you know, everybody has a past, and that's why I said this is definitely a no judgment zone. This show is based off of a past, my past, and I like to have guests on that have a past that are not ashamed to tell their story, you know, their testimony of what they've come out of or what God has done for them and where they are in their life now. So again, I just thank you, you know, just for being on, just to have the courage to even come on, because I haven't even had a subject of this sort on my show as of yet. But like I said, I know you and I had talked a while and everything, and I've had a lot of different topics on, but I hadn't had anyone that to be on the show to actually be able to talk about,
right.
their life in prison. Somebody actually who's been in prison. So I just thank you, you know, just for being on.
Appreciate it.
And
I really wanted to do it, you know, because actually that's a touchy subject, you know, for a lot of people.
Yes.
Touchy subject, especially the way that the world is going right now. And, of course, we got these presidential elections coming up and stuff like that. I mean, you know, a lot of people are worried, you know. So,
right.
You know, these things, you know, that's it's like your Social Security number. You know, that's some real private stuff right there, you know, because mm-hmm. it opens up some stuff that you may not want to look back into. But, you know, but I like looking back into it just to see how far I've come and how long God walked with me through all of it, you know. I like looking at it actually
hard.
Now.
Shows you your growth and where it is
yeah.
that you come from because if you don't go through something you won't be able to know what God can bring you out of and what He's capable of doing mm-hmm. which we know He's able to do all and above, so you know that's awesome. Since you've been released from prison, you know, how has life, you know, been different from being inside the walls to being outside of it? How's it been different for you?
I was released from prison September 30th of 2014. And my first 6 months, you know, it was a major change from where I would just come from, you know, being released from a place where people you when you can get up, when you can eat, to when you can go to sleep, to and out in the free world where I make my own decisions, you know, it was kind of a shock at first. Being around people that, just civilians in general, that haven't even been through what I've been through, you know, you don't know what's on their minds. And being in a place where anything could happen at any moment, you know, it messes with your mind mm-hmm. mentally. So you have to be mentally prepared before you even get out there. But being, since I've been out, I've talked to you about a few things, and there's been some things that have mm-hmm. happened since I've been out that, you know, I wasn't mentally prepared for,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, usually right. when you're in prison, you make your plan on getting out, getting a job, and, you know, walking down the straight mm-hmm. and narrow. And, of course, you know, what a lot of us fail to do, we all go back to those same old friends and still doing the same old thing when you got mm-hmm. that, when you left, you know.
Right.
Those types.
Right.
No, y'all, excuse me, there's my dog barking back there. I don't know what they doing, but anyway. They're my babies, I mean, hey. But, you know, going from a place where you're basically like a robot, to being a person that has control of their own body, their own life, it's a major change. And, you know, with the way society's going nowadays, it's almost like a person will feel safer going back in there, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because in there, at least you know you're going to get 3 meals a day. The electricity is free. You got TV. If you ain't got TV and you ain't got electricity, you do got books and sunlight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people would much rather have it that way versus going out here and actually working for it and appreciating what they got with their own money. You know, now me, on the other hand, I wanted so much for myself that I realized that I put a lot of pressure on myself in the past and was trying to go mm-hmm. about it the quick route. That's why I was out here doing all these underhanded things to try to get quick money. And it
mm-hmm.
cost me 10 years of my life. Important years. You know, I mean, all the years of my life were important, but those 10 years right there were the most critical because, you know, I had some opportunities in between that time to actually change that, and it took me to finish the whole sentence for me to realize
mm-hmm.
what I was really supposed to be doing. So, going back to Brother Chris Suggs, he told me something. Cause mind you, I went back through that same place about 3 times. And every time I went back through there, I would always see Chris. And the last time he told me, he said, "You keep coming back here for a reason. You must have forgot something." And I'm like, And I'm like, what you mean by that? He said, you every time you come, I mean, you stay out longer and longer, but it's just something that keep drawing you back. You're forgetting something. What is it that you forget? And mind you, he was actually a pastor of the church in prison where I was at, and made special arrangements with the warden to be able to meet with me while I was in the classification, where other people weren't able to do, because at that time, you know, when you're in prison, you're only restricted to certain areas. So they basically gave him, me and him, free reign for a day just to sit back and talk. And mind you, just gave this life sentence back. And mind you, at the time, he didn't even have it in his mind, but he had it in his heart. He was going to leave that prison, and he did by the grace of God. So, you know, that's why I love the scripture from chapter 14, verse 22, where it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And so I'm saying that to say this, since I've been out, I see why I went through what I went through before, because it wouldn't have made me as strong a man as I am now. See, sometimes people are born with silver spoons in their mouth, so they're automatically, quote-unquote, blessed with wealth and not having to really suffer anything like that. But in my case, because of the track record of the men in my family, especially on my father's side of the family, you know, I'm not going to say it's really bad, but it wasn't the best. And with me being in and out of prison, of course, that particular side of the family looked down on me. But there were people who don't even know me, hadn't even met me. I thank God for my fiance's family. I really do, because those folks took me in without any judgment or anything that I've ever done. And I told them up front, I'm like, look, y'all, look, I'm a gangbanger. And look, I go to prison. I go to jail from time to time. I told them that like it was the thing to tell them. And they accepted me the way, that I was. And even through all of my mess, as I like to call it, my mess, even through all of that, them folks still said, come on, don't worry about it. You know, we got you. And these are people that ain't even my blood family, my kin people, the same loins, the same DNA that flows to me flows through them type stuff. These folks really, they care. And so just knowing that, it was God basically giving me a sign. He said, just because one set of people don't care, don't worry about it, because I'm going to put you around people that you need to be around in order for you to become who I need you to become.
That's right. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes sometimes.
Yeah. You know, a real support group. You know, they talk about it in all of these classes that they have in prison about having a support group. And I'm sitting here looking like, man, my support group, my homeboy. But then I got to thinking about it, sitting back and looking at it, especially when I got home. I looked and seen how or regressed since I had been gone. Some of them have progressed in life and moved on to more adult things, and then others stayed and wallowed in the middle of the juvenile mess, even though they're around the same age as me. Now, in order for me to be able to become a real productive person in society, I had to remove myself away from them. And I don't disown none of them. I see them in the street and say, hey, how you doing? I treat them as I would if I was still in the middle of my mess, because at the same time, those are still God's children too.
Right.
But I also believe where it says in the Bible that, you know, you should be not unequally yoked when be equally yoked with unbelievers. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the term that was used. And so in order for me to stay on this path that I need to stay on, I had to stay away from these people. And what that mean by stay away, I'm not sitting there saying that, you know, if I see them, I go the other direction. It just means I don't have to involve myself in any of the things that they're involved with. Still love them as a person, but that don't mean I have to do what they do.
Right.
And you know, that's over from being a person that would shoot first and ask questions later to, hold on, let me think about it, because maybe we could talk this out and get this resolved without anybody getting hurt.
I'll tell you, I said you've come a long way. I didn't know you, you know, that time period, but just to see the man, you know, that you are now, and everything that you've been through, that you've been going through these things, you know, for such a long time, for about 20 years that you've been, you know, that you were on that type of path, and for you to be the man that you are now, you know, rehabilitated, and you're in society, and you haven't been back to prison and everything. I have family members that, you know, that tell me, they're like, well, I like being in there. You know, I got my TV. What you were saying earlier, you know, I have my TV, and I can wear my Jordans in here and different things. I'm just like, man, why would you want to be in there? But I do understand that I haven't been in prison, so, you know, I don't know. I can't say exactly, but I'm just like, still, I'm like, wow, you know, they would truly rather be in prison. But, you know, if you're out, excuse me, you can be out, stay out. Please stay out. And that's my prayer, you know, for you, that you definitely stay out. Men or women that may be on the wrong path right now, you know, that they may be going down the wrong road, what advice would you have for someone, or what message would you have for someone that's on the wrong path right now and headed in the wrong direction?
My advice would be to literally, I mean, I don't know what walk of life you may be coming from, but at some point in time, whether you're out here using, getting high, whatever, or if you're just out here just living life reckless because you feel like don't nobody care, look, just for 1 second, take you a piece of paper and write down what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Truly important to you. I'm talking about dig deep in your heart. Dig through that thick, tough shell that you show everybody else. Dig past that and get deep into your heart and see what's really important to you and what you really want for your life. Because everybody, I don't care who you are, on what social level you are, everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to live comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. I'm not sitting there saying that anybody's out here doing this to try to better themselves. I mean, but at the same time, they feel like that's the only way that they can do it to make it. And you don't have to do it like that. You don't have to. I mean, like I said, Toy, you've been around me for a little bit, so you see, like I said, you know, January 19th was my first full year at a job. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, that was
a goal
that I definitely needed to accomplish, you know, just for me on my own, my personal goal, because usually within 6 months to a year, I'm going back to prison. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I done resorted back into my mess, one of the two. So, you know, write down what's really important to you. Make it fact, if you got any questions now, y'all can call in right now, ask me anything at all. I mean, because life is really too short nowadays. Just in the month of January alone, you know, my particular city of Jackson, Tennessee, you know, witnessed five murders, five homicides, six shootings.
Yes.
One of them
is
a very close friend of mine who, like I said, is still in their walk of life. Even though that's my friend, but still living in their walk of life, and look what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man now has, you know, he has to wear a colostomy bag now. You know, what's it gonna take for you to realize? What does God have to let you go through for you to realize that you can't do this on your own, but there is somebody that cares.
That's right. That's right. And then there's that's really deep what you've just said, because there are so many senseless murders that are going on. There's innocent people that are leaving this world, you know, for people that are taking their lives. People, you know, and it doesn't matter what the color may be. It doesn't matter the race. It doesn't matter the gender. It doesn't matter the sexual preference. It doesn't matter. It's just senseless crimes that are going on. And I moved, you know, from Tennessee to Illinois, but it's not any different up here, because there's murders everywhere. And that's how you know that Jesus is soon to come, because this is what is that exactly going to happen. I mean, you're going to have these rumors of wars and all these different things that are going to continue to happen, because God is angry, and
of course,
he's allowing these things to happen, and we're just continuing to do these things. We're acting like the cities back in the olden days, Sodom and Gomorrah, all these different cities that were destroyed back then. This is what the world is turning into now.
Right.
You know, this is a part of a Ten Commandment, you know, thou shalt not kill. And people are doing it like it's, you know, like they changed their socks. It's just, it's the norm. And
right.
It should be the norm. That's how you know that Jesus, he really is truly, truly soon to come. But all we can do is to make sure that we're, our life is in line. And it definitely sounds like you're on the right path. You're making good decisions. I'm so, again, I told you, I'm so godly proud of you, you know, for you to be on your job that long and to still be out, you know, to be out of prison and everything, and to be in the regular life. And I mean, you're doing so well. I'm so proud of you, and I'll be keeping in touch with you from time to time to check on you, because I know how things can be. You know, I know how the world can be. I know how peer pressure is. I know how things can be, and how, you know, you may hit a rough patch or, you know, go through something, but you have to, you know, make sure that you hold on and continue to, you know, to keep going. And that's what I want the listeners to know. And if anybody has a question or comment, again, you can press 1 on your keypad. That'll let us know that you have a question. If you have a question or comment for myself or for my guest, Quincy, that you can press 1 on your keypad and let us know. While we're waiting for that, I know your family has to be excited about you being home, being away from them for so long. How did that affect your family while you were in prison?
Man, it really affected a lot of people. You know, you just don't realize how much your actions affect, how many people it really affects. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, for as long as I've been gone, I come home to a very handsome nephew. Look, I mean, if you see him, he looks just like me, like he's mine, but he's my sister's son, and it's my nephew. And I mean, he has to call his uncle every morning before he goes to school. I mean, this is the type of stuff this is what I really wanted out of my life, and God is blessing me to do that. You know, they wouldn't have been able to really enjoy their lives as well, because knowing that I'm still in there, there's a piece of their life that's put away that they're never going to get, would have never got to see, you know.
Right.
So, you know, my dad, you know, he seems to be doing better now, but he's doing a lot better compared to the way he was. I'm going to say that, you know. Mm-hmm. He's not all the way there yet, you know. It, like Steve Harvey would say, I ain't through yet. God ain't through yet with it. He's not through yet, you know, with him. And my mother, I mean, I can't thank him enough for her. Because, I get a little choked up about it by my mama now.
That's all right.
You know, that's one woman I could say, man, going to ride me till I hit that casket. And she's liable to jump in there with me if I was to go before her. I know how she is. And my granddad, he's still alive, and he is a trip. I mean, and I thank God to still have him because, you know, a lot of people still don't have their grandparents or their parents, you know.
That's right. That's right.
You know, right. And it affected, of course, you know, again, my play brother, of course, God rekindled me and his relationship with each other because, you know, me and him went through some things. And nonetheless, me and him was able to put all of that aside. God made a way for us to put that aside. And that's really how I got that job, you know, and I thank him every day for it, you know. You know that job is stressful as heck up there.
Yes.
You know how that
it
is.
It can be.
That ain't nothing changed.
It can be.
But,
right.
But nonetheless, you know what we go through, especially in the car business. And nonetheless, it gave me an opportunity, and I've taken advantage of it. You know, people, when God opens doors for you to go and do something, there's no point in hesitating or waiting and thinking, talking about, well, I need to pray about it. Trust me, if that door is open, God has already opened it for you. You just got to open your eyes to see it.
Right. That is so true. That, I'm glad and I'm just so thankful. I know your family, is just excited for, you know, for you to be home. And everything, and the path that you've chosen for your life, and that you stayed on for this time period, is wonderful, and that's amazing. So, I have to thank you just for you know, coming on and just talking to some young man, some young woman that may be headed in the wrong direction, maybe on the wrong path. You know, I hope that his story has encouraged you. And has given that you give it some serious thought to what it is that you may be doing before you go out and do something that will have you to end up in prison, and you may not be able to get out. There are people that are several people, millions of people that are serving life sentences, and I say you were blessed to, you know, to serve 10, which is still an extremely long time. Nobody wants to, you know, take 10 years out of their, you know, out of their life. But I mean, if you make a mistake, that's something that you just have to deal with. And you've done that, you've done your time, and you've come out, and you've been very successful selling cars and everything. But if someone wants to get in contact with you, if somebody's looking for a car, you can just give the listeners your information and everything, and how, where they can reach you at, and if they want to come and purchase a vehicle, or if they want to stop by and talk to you, how they can reach out to you, if you can give them information.
Okay. If you guys want to ever reach me, you're looking for a vehicle, new or used, or if you're just looking for some advice on how to try to get ahead of life or get closer to God, you can always reach me at 731-410-1100. That's the number to call, like me, son of Jackson. It's pretty much where I spend the majority of my day. I'm telling you, the best time to catch me between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m., of course, when the time goes back, it'll be to 8 p.m. So you can reach me in between those times. It's a wonderful 12-hour window to just get anything and everything that you can out of me, because trust me, when we fellowship, I'm getting something from you just as much as you're getting something from me. So trust me, I'm in need of the fellowship in order to kind of heal my own past wounds. So let's help each other at this moment. You know, no matter what, you don't even have to buy a car from me. Just the sheer fact that you have someone that you can talk to, and, you know, they can understand your problems, understand what you're going through. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, I appreciate you, you know, for coming on and telling your testimony. We're going to be back here on next week, on next Wednesday, and I'm going to have another guest on next week that we'll be bringing on. And again, the show on next week will probably be at 9 p.m. again, Central Standard Time, which will be 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time because of my work schedule. And I live a little further from my job than where I lived previously, so it takes me a little longer to get home. So So 9 o'clock is actually a good time, a good start time for me right now, until something else may change. So we'll meet you back here on next Wednesday. Again, the number to the station, tell somebody next week to call in next Wednesday. We're going to be back here again. The number here is 347-989-1779. They can call in and, you know, with their questions or comments, and we're going to go again. We'll have someone else on next week. But, again, Quincy, thank you for being on the show, just for telling your story, you know, your testimony of what God has done for you in your life, and just continue going in the right direction. You are definitely on the right path, but just continue to do what you're doing. And we're going to take it out with a song. But I love you all. I thank all the listeners, everyone that has called in. If you're listening on the phone, if you're listening online, I just thank you just for calling in to the show on tonight. I know it's that the hour is late, but I just thank you for being faithful and calling in. So you all have a blessed evening. We're going to take it out with a song, and you all have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night.
Lift your worship.
Come on, raise it before I'm saying, wanna be where you are. Everything I need is where.